Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church. Springtime, right? Oh, it'll warm up. We know it will. This is one of those cold snaps. Linda and I started this morning. It was snowing out there in Possum Woods. We said, my goodness, this is uncalled for. But we'll make it. This week we are praying for Debbie Neff. Debbie, hands up here. All right, there's Debbie. Good to have you here, Debbie. Birthdays, well, what do you know? Did Phyllis Johnson ever come in? Oh, there she is. I know, I saw you over there. Phyllis Johnson has a birthday today. So, happy birthday today, Phyllis. We're going to sing to you. Ready, Larry? Phyllis, happy birthday. Tuesday, Bible study at 10 a.m., as usual. This Saturday is the lunch at noon at Harry, Jen, and Enon. Let Sandy Silky know if you plan to be there. If you haven't ordered your spring flowers, fill out the yellow order form on the tablet in the narthex. Today is the last day to order, so thank you. Pastor? Good to see you this nice, fine morning.
Good to be seen this hour early here at 9 o'clock, huh?
That changes things.
We'll get up to speed here. Peace the Lord be with you all. Take a few moments to rise up and greet those around you as you greet one another with the peace of the Lord. like to worship in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires are known, from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may more perfectly love you and more worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus the Christ, our Lord. Amen. And if we say we have no sin, we only deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all of our sin. As a called and ordained pastor of the Church of Jesus Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sin, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
In peace let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we pray.
Pray. Heavenly Father, your mercy is great, as is your power to heal and to forgive. We come to you humbly, seeking your forgiveness and your cleansing of us, of our sin, through your Son, Jesus the Christ, who reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Our first lesson this morning is from the Old Testament book of Numbers, the 21st chapter, beginning with the 4th verse. From Mount Hor, they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food. Then the Lord set fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Now please let us join together as we read together responsibly Psalm 107, verses 1 through 9. Oh, give thanks to the Lord for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from trouble, and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of man. For He satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul He fills with good things. Our second lesson this morning is found in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Gospel. According to St. John chapter 3, verses 14-21. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. The Gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. This past week, I took a few moments. I was watching a video, found it interesting. As I was reflecting, as I was teaching BOAG way back many years ago, of one of the kids that brought an old John Deere Model B tractor into the shop to do some repair on. This video showed a farmer out there in the field plowing with an old Model B John Deere, circa 1948, old two-bottom plow. As I watched that short video, I recalled the last team of horses we had on our family farm. And also an old single-bottom plow that had laid up against the corn crib for ages, the wood now deteriorated. Kind of wish I'd hung on to that old one-bottom plow. I also recalled that last team of horses we had. I recalled walking behind one horse in the garden, harnessed up to an old spring-tooth harrow, dragging across our farm garden there to prepare the ground for planting. All those past images kind of came rolling in, thinking of how Granddad, what he thought as he went from a team of horses, having to harness up the horses to plow the field, to his first tractor and a plow. Fast forwarding to when my dad upgraded to a German Deutz four-wheel drive tractor that would pull not just a three-bottom plow, but the dealer brought in a five-bottom plow. And my dad says, no way will that be able to be pulled through these clay hills. To my dad's amazement, that tractor pulled those five bottoms up that hill, and my grandpa was just as amazed. Oh, how things change. We've all gone through those times, haven't we? Some of you could probably recall the old Ringer washing machines. Anybody here? I went down to the old wash cellar on the farm with grandma or mom and helped out there with that old Ringer washer into the basket and out to the two lines between the back of the house and the woodshed out there, which we still burn wood on the farm. And I would be delightful to hand clothespins up as they hung the clothes on those lines back there. And then they put in a drain line and a hot cold water line in one side of the kitchen, that old farmhouse, so they could put an automatic washing machine up against that wall. Wow! How neat was that? No longer having to go to the basement. And the thing not only washed, it rinsed and then spun the clothes dry. Now, we still hung them out on the line, but then they'd also got a dryer to put next to it. And on those cold winter days, that was so sweet to be able to put the clothes into that dryer and not have to put clothes racks up over top of that old wood furnace grate in the family room or the bedroom or whatever to dry the clothes. What a joy! It was the technology that improved things. We've all gone through tech changes, haven't we? Our cars, even we get in now and we get the phones or whatever, we wonder how to make the things work. No matter how automatic they are, all the technology and so forth, they are still lifeless by themselves. It takes you or someone else to put the clothes in the washing machine, to take them out, and do something else, unless you happen to have that robot from the old Jetsons TV series that comes and takes them out, washes them, and folds them, and everything else, you know. That lifeless washing machine, even that self-driving car, which I'm not a big fan of, still takes someone to get them going, to start them, and even watch them, to push the buttons, if you will. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, is concerned about a different type of lifelessness. Not lifeless washing machines and cars and what have you. He's concerned about spiritual lifelessness that affects each and every one of us at some time in our life. And Paul takes it to a deeper level, saying that spiritual lifelessness is death. That we were dead in our trespasses, and being spiritually dead, we're incapable of any action on our own. Any action, any thought of moving one way or the other. We can do nothing on our own to change our sinful nature, to redeem ourselves and make us able to be in God's sight. Paul writes, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he has for us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Sounds a lot like our gospel, doesn't it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, for whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Going back to the beginning of the Gospel of John, I think I shared this perhaps last week. In the beginning was the Word was with God. Most of us remember those words. The Word was God. Continue on down through that. In the beginning, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, the light of his creation. Later in John, Jesus says, he's talking to Thomas here, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Notice that Jesus doesn't say, I am a way to God the Father. He clearly says he is the only way, the only truth, the only life. There is no other way to be a part of, to be alive in God's eternal kingdom except through his Son, Jesus the Christ. Because we cannot find and walk the way by ourselves. We cannot know and speak the truth on our own. We cannot redeem ourselves back into the life that is pleasing to God, to be righteous and holy and acceptable. No, God does it for us. We are lifeless. God does it for us through his Son, as Paul says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. There are monuments all over this country, there are monuments around the world to those who have died, to their works and to their achievements. But the dead cannot speak of their works. The spiritually dead are also lost in darkness and separation from God the Father. They can say nothing, they can do nothing. Even coming up to that last day to show God the Father everything that they have supposedly done for him is not enough. No matter how many earthly works they might try to do, it will not redeem them. However, the spiritually alive, those alive in Jesus the Christ, are alive because of God's grace. And hopefully their works reflect the life of Jesus. But their works are not enough to get them into eternal life. They're only, hopefully, a good reflection of their love for Jesus, their love for God, and their desire to work for Jesus. As Paul says in Ephesians, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And even though we are alive in Christ, alive in Jesus, in his word, in worship, the prince of the power of air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, continues to do his best to deceive and tempt all believers, including you and me, to tempt us with the passions of our flesh, that we might give in to desires of the body and the mind. Oh yes, Satan would love to have us return to the land of the spiritually dead, by not living our lives of repentance, by not living our lives turned and focused on God, by not living our lives in service to our neighbors. The prince of the power of the air works tirelessly, tempting to pull us away from our baptism, tempting to try to get us to forget about the promises we receive through grace, trying to get us to forget about God's Son, Jesus' most precious blood that he shed on that cross for you and for me on that fateful Friday that we call Good Friday. Yes, the father of lies, of sin and death, roams the world, stirring up doubt, fear, and hatred, tempting us all to just one little taste, just one little moment, just one time, enticing all to take their lives for a moment off of Jesus. Enticing us to enjoy worldly pleasures, doing his best to blind those who would follow him of what lies ahead of, well, if they follow him, the path of darkness and sorrow, heartbreak and destruction, and ultimately eternal death. He tries to deceive in the most wonderful ways in his mind, tries to share what he already wants us to go, but it is death. Unless we boast that we will never fall away from Jesus, we'll never do that. Others much closer said the same thing. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, this is in Matthew 26, "You will all fall away from me because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you in Galilee." Peter answered him, "Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And Peter said to him, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." Exclamation mark. And all the disciples said the same thing. Jesus' love is indeed steadfast. Was for the disciples, is for us today. This last Friday, I was at the Dayton National Cemetery in Dayton by the VA as a family honored and said goodbye to their dad, husband, grandpa, brother, uncle, friend. Looking out over those thousands of tombstones in that national cemetery, together we responsibly did "The Lord is My Shepherd," 23rd Psalm. You could probably almost respond to me as I go through this. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures and leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We'll revisit the 23rd Psalm in about a month here on the 14th of April, the fourth Sunday of Easter. But consider those dark valleys. We've all been in those deep valleys of darkness and unknowns. And when we're there, let us remember that God, our Heavenly Father, is indeed rich in mercy, that His love is great, that His forgiveness is for you and for me, that He is the one and He is the only one who raises those baptized in His Son, Jesus the Christ, to eternal life. His joy is resurrection life. He blesses us with ears to hear His words, with a new heart to act on them, with a newness of life to be able to live them out in His Son Jesus. For no matter how dark the future may look from where you are today or in the future, by the grace of God, you have the light and the life of Jesus the Christ. Jesus is the light and the life for all creation. From John 1:5, "The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Yes, we were rescued from spiritual death through the waters of baptism, receiving the very light and life of Jesus the Christ. Every time that we commune at the table, we hear our Lord's words of life spoken to us as He spoke them to the disciples that fateful night, the night in which He would be betrayed before the crucifixion. And we are counted as those rescued from spiritual death, counted as His beloved children, because we were once dead in our trespasses. We are now alive in Christ Jesus. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. But whoever does that, does what is true, comes to light, so that it may be clearly seen that His works have been carried out in God. We often forget that last verse 21 there, following verse 21. Rolling back to the Old Testament, Lamentations 3:22 to 24, The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. In the Old Testament day in Numbers, and the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent, set it on a pole, and if the serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. There's various stories, but if you look at a doctor's symbol, what do you see? A staff and a serpent. Also, they say it's Greek. God is back there. I choose to appreciate this from Moses, especially 1 year ago today, as I rushed my beloved Sarah to the Wright-Patterson Hospital. She was admitted to ICU. Her vital signs, critical. Total liver and kidney failure. The next day I would hear one of the doctors say, we didn't know she'd make it through the night. She was that critically ill. Plans were begun for an emergency liver transplant. A team of doctors at the University of Cincinnati and Wright-Patterson, choosing a last resort plan to try to help out her liver. Without a doubt, I believe God's gift of grace kept her spiritually focused on Jesus as his steadfast love and eternal hope that would baffle the doctors in the coming 10 days as her body began to amazingly, miraculously recover from total liver and total kidney failure. As her body climbed out of that deep valley of darkness, near physical death, never spiritual death, for Jesus, his promise of spiritual life is forever and ever. Amen? We all have that same eternal promise. You have that promise of eternal life in Jesus the Christ, because he is the one who saves us through grace alone. And we truly may boast of his grace, his mercy, and his love through the words of the Apostle Paul, the words that I shared Friday with the family. What then are we to say about these things? For if God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for us, all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us, for you and for me. Who will separate us from the love of God? Will hardship, distress, persecution, famine, or nakedness, peril, or sword? No, Paul says, and we can say no. For in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is powerful. Keep that close. From today's Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. Explanation mark. Endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble. In spite of whatever the world is throwing at you today or throws at you tomorrow, may you always keep your eyes and your heart focused on Jesus the Christ. For indeed, his love never fails. It endures forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen.
invite the congregation to join together in professing our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us continue in prayer at this time. Heavenly Father, we indeed come to you just as we are. Yes, we profess our faith here with creeds, and yet too often we live our lives not quite following them as we should, not following your word as we should. Help us, Lord, to indeed have ears that hear, eyes that see, and a heart that is always focused on you. In the midst of the tempter's trials, his temptations against us, let us hear your words echoing in our very being, that we can say, as you said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan," and follow you, Jesus, faithfully each and every day. Grant us opportunity to boast indeed in your glory, in your grace, in your mercy, in your never-ending love. Be with so many, Lord, that are indeed hurting, that are indeed wondering, "Where are you, Jesus?" as they suffer any number of illnesses, injuries, losses. We come to you now, Lord, with those we are concerned that we lift up to you. We give you the praise, we give you the glory, Lord, for indeed your love is beyond our understanding. Help us to see your love for all of creation, in creation around us. And though we might even curse the snowflakes, realize that each snowflake is different, as you've made each one of us different. Each one is beautiful in its own way. Help us to indeed see your beauty all around. Help us to be your beauty as well to others, as we proclaim, as we boast of your great love. Be with those who are hurting in faraway places. Be with our military folks, whether in land or sea or the air. Be with those who are thirsting for water, who are hungering for food. Be with those who are in need of medical care. Be with the doctors who do indeed care for them and all those that care for them in any other way. Continue to walk with us, Lord, as we give you the praise and glory, as we come to be blessed at your table, as we go to take your word into the world around us. In your name we pray, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Let us join in our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. amazing grace bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace to serve the risen Lord.